Hi, it's Lynn. This is the second half of our contributor Melissa Clark's interview with Marcus Samuelson about why he picked Harlem for his home and what it is like being a restaurateur in that neighborhood. I hope you enjoy it.
Hi, Marcus. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you, Melissa. Happy to be here.
So tell me, how did you end up with a restaurant in Harlem?
Wow. I think there was many steps to it. I think, you know, after 9/11, I think that the restaurant scene and all of it was just very confusing for a lot of people, especially from, particularly for me. I just cooked at the World Trade Center a week before that,
and
I felt lost in many ways. That was really the first time when I started thinking about question, why am I in New York? Why am I here? I come from the most comfortable country in the world, Sweden. I'm not a refugee. I'm an immigrant. And that's a luxury. It's a slight different, but it's a luxury. And I really started to question that myself. But after thinking about it, I really fell in love with New York more, actually, after that. Like, I'm not leaving, not on this. You know, I came here because I'm deeply in love with New York City and America. And I started to talk a lot to my mother, of course, about community. And, you know, I didn't know necessarily my neighbor in Midtown. And it wasn't my neighbor's fault. It was sort of like how you kind of shut down. So eventually I just said, you know what? Where have I had the best time in New York City? And Harlem always came up. Not necessarily from eating, but just from music and friends. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna move up to Harlem. So I started with moving up to Harlem. And my mom said, you know, on these endless phone calls, she's like, you sound really happy. You should open a restaurant in your community. So that was really the idea of it. But it took another 6 or 7 years for me to open Red Rooster because I felt that I just didn't know enough. You know, being black, yeah, I had some ties to Harlem and I felt very connected to Harlem through the African-American history, but I didn't know it. So I wanted to discover it. And the first thing you realize is that, like a lot of African-American communities in the cities, it's completely off the grid.
What do you mean by that?
It was a couple of places that are on the grid, sort of. Apollo, Studio Museum, Sylvia's, sort of on the official map of New York City.
Right, I see what you're saying, yes.
Central Park, Schomburg maybe. But there was incredible food in between all of those places, right? Almost the way you can say that Brooklyn was off the regular map and grid 15 years ago, right?
Exactly.
So I understand that people needed these sort of cliffhangers to hold on to, but in between those places, that's where I found Mike the Crab Guy, you know, chucking oysters. And, you know, I thought he would be on that corner all the time. He's like, no, why would I be that? I'm where the people are at, which makes sense if you're a merchant.
Right.
And, you know, the food that came after church sessions, that was just so delicious. The incredible bars, like, you know, that was serving food for free, but charging for the drinks. And this cup of, you know, there was always musicians there and you had to put money into the basket or the cup, right? It was this tradition that everyone there knew, but I didn't. And it was food wrapped around all of these places that just wasn't ending up on a blog or on Sagat's, right? And
right.
I'm like, this is magical. What if I can sort of create one place where my food is a recall to all of these different images? What if we open a place where it's diverse, not from a name tag, but the true essence of diversity? It more reflects the subway, right? Think about it. New York City is extremely diverse, yet diversity is very hard to sort of experience, true diversity. You find it on the subway, but what if we can open a place that diversity is not something that we have to, that is just come natural? And that was sort of the what if,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we work towards, and that's what we created.
And when you talk about capturing all of that, capturing that diversity, I know that you started with the menu, that there's a lot of influences going on. Can you talk about how you came up with that?
Well, you know, I think obviously for me, being African, being black and being African and American, you know, I can completely answer the birth to call. I was not born here. No, but, and also, you know, the migration is so core to Harlem and it's so core to, think about what we got from the migration. We got bebop, we got jazz, we got eventually hip hop, we got gospel. That's what the migration sounds like.
The migration meaning the black, the Southerners coming up from the north.
Yep. Absolutely. And that happened from 1917 to 1970.
So do you have some of those dishes on, like some of those Southern influenced dishes on your menu? Is that?
Sure. But I felt there was, in terms of, if I wanted to ask you how it sounded like, I can give you different notes, right? From Dizzy Gillespie to gospel to hip hop. If we wanted to talk about orally what that sounded like, from Maya Angelou to James Baldwin, even visually, we can talk about, you know, Jacob Lawrence, and we can talk about Rumar Bearden. But how it tasted, it was this term of soul food that I wanted to give a nod to, but also have it live in the present.
Okay.
It was not just how it was in the past, but how to live in the present. So how does soul food taste with farmer's market in mind? How does soul food taste with a modernity that had a slightly off-center call to it? Because part of it is the migration, but part of it is also the immigration. And I'm an immigrant, so soul food cooked with soul, but maybe with Swedish ingredients or African ingredients. So constantly looking at both the history, the African-American history, but also adding the immigration tale to it.
And
that's
so,
the menu.
So what are some of the dishes? Can you talk about some of the dishes?
Oh, absolutely. So protein-wise, it's all the balance between the bird and the pig, because those were really the things that were sent from South Carolina, from Virginia. They were pickled, they were roasted, they were preserved, and they were sent up north. So, you know, it's all about the chicken and the pig. So we have dishes, obviously fried chicken, right? I knew it had to be a staple, and it intimidated me. How do I serve fried chicken in Harlem that, you know, when you have Charles Pan fried chicken right up the street, you have Sylvia's, you know, half a block away? So I had to do it very different, right? So I had to take clear decisions. Our fried chicken will always be bone in, dark meat, thigh, skin on.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we cure it, the marinate it, has a little bit of coconut milk instead of only buttermilk, right? So slightly hints to Africa.
Yes.
Slightly hints that are a little bit different. But these left turns make it also taste completely different.
And then, so you, I know that you're buying ingredients locally, you're shopping the farmer's market, but you're also staffing your restaurant locally.
I mean, the greenest green, the term green means so different in an urban area. For me, the greenest experience I can give to our restaurant is the hiring policy, hiring from within the community. So 75% of my staff comes from Harlem, and that was very big difference for me too. But of course, it makes sense, because if you've had dinner with us and you're going to ask one of our servers, where can I go after this? You want someone to say, hey, you know what? There's a really cool place two blocks from here. Tell them that I sent you, and drink first round is on me. That is curation, but it's also valuable information if you're 50 blocks away from where maybe it's your normal neighborhood.
That's so great. So now I know you were telling me earlier that you have a rule that 75% of your staff needs to either be born in Harlem or living in Harlem or have some kind of connection.
Yes, because this idea of being in and of the community is really the true essence of Red Rooster, right? When you think about it, when we started, it was for black male, there was about 38% unemployment rate. Overall unemployment in Harlem is right 19%. Well, we hire 165 people and 70 musicians on top of that call Red Rooster home every week.
Marcus, thank you so much for talking with me today. This was amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Marcus Samuelson's latest book is The Red Rooster Cookbook. Melissa Clark's latest is Cook This Now.